back to A New Sound with me, Morgan Brown. I hope everyone is staying safe out there during this quarantine or great pandemic, whatever you like to call it. Point is, my hair is very long, my beard is very beardy. I can't tell if you can tell, but I'm kind of losing my mind over here. But one good thing is that I've been able to work on a lot of new stuff, a lot of new music, a lot of new production, mixing and mastering and working on my craft, as well as being able to talk to my friends and staying connected with Zoom. So for my first virtual ever interview, on the show today is my friend Andrew Patnod. He is an amazing musician and film composer. Most recently, I put out an album last year called How Is It Up There? As well as most recently, scored the film MASH, available on YouTube. It's really, really cool, and it's awesome. So I definitely advise you to check it out. On the interview, we talk a lot about his musical process and a lot of how he does. He holds a lot of hats. He's in the group Spider Rock. Steve, I interviewed a little bit while back. He's doing his own music. He's doing his own film composing. Overall, just a really amazing, funny guy. Love talking to him. So I'm going to play you a snippet of one of his songs. And here's my interview with Andrew Patnod. Please stay safe out there. Wear your masks when you go out. And I hope everyone is doing really well. Here's my interview with Andrew Patnod. Welcome.
That was
the formal intro.
Okay, cool. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. I wanted to talk to you about music because I've already talked to a colleague of yours named Steve Collins, who we're both very good friends with.
Yeah, I listened to that episode one day while I was working.
I'm happy you liked it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Me and Steve kind of noticed when we were doing that episode, it got to like the 40-minute mark and we're like, I don't know who is still listening to this, because it was just me deep diving on the music videos and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it was me. I was listening.
That's good. I'm very happy that you liked it. Yeah, Steve's a very good friend of ours. I'm trying to get Max on one soon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's a very talented boy.
Yeah, he's worth getting insight into his noggin.
Yeah, if anyone, I want to get insight to his noggin as well as yours, because it was so interesting because I've listened to your whole discography at this point, and it's crazy because I genuinely don't gravitate towards instrumental music. This has just completely have a different grasp on me. I believe half of the How Is It Up There album is now on my shower and bath playlist.
Thank you.
Because it's amazing. I truly I only really like love to talk to people who I would never talk to someone who I don't not like any of their music and stuff. So for me to have you, I have a deep dive on a lot of questions for you about how your process is and how you go about everything you go through. I guess my first question to you, like on a musical note, is how did it reflect for your earlier stuff to then come up with the ideas and tones for How Is It Up There? Because this does seem like a very deep departure from like your couple earlier songs.
Yeah. I mean, so it's basically just, I've just kind of been making nonsense since like freshman year of high school, pretty much. And like a bunch of the songs on that one, the How Is It Up There, are like songs that kind of I had already made, and then a bunch of stuff is new. So basically I just kind of, I mean, that is like all GarageBand up until. And so I was just kind of going through noises and the sounds that are on that, just seeing what sounds cool, what's a nice melody that can go with this voice, like a melody that works best only with this voice. And mm-hmm. That's kind of just the way I would start it. And then with that one, I I just got a better instrument. And then I was just like, okay, I'm just going to use this a little electric piano and see how many interesting noises I can come up with to try to create a nice space to live in your headphones.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, I think you do that very well. I think tonally it's interesting because some of the songs definitely like differ in, I guess, like tone and sonically how it would come out, because it's interesting to hear. I mean, obviously I know that you like went to Emerson and we're definitely surrounded by film and communication majors. Do you look at a lot of How Is It Up There like as if it were a film soundtrack, because it is so romantic in some of the ways that you phrase things in that, on that record?
Yeah, it's definitely, my intent is to score films and to score TV. And so behind every song, ideally, I want it to be used as a soundtrack to something visual. And like all of the Goodbye Friendly Buddy stuff, that was like, that was the first project I did like an actual music to visual for. And so but the other stuff is just okay, kind of just doing that backwards, hoping that someone will hear it and be like, I haven't seen that this would work great. And that's the goal.
That was the initial idea. Got it.
Yeah.
Top three favorite songs off the album, like for How Is It Up There? Definitely, I mean, I really gravitated to Float a lot. I think that's a really beautiful song, specifically melody. And then I do love the two zip codes, because I know one of them is obviously from your hometown.
Yeah.
And then one of them is Sherman Oaks, I believe.
That's right.
I do my research.
Yeah.
So, and my research is typing in those numbers and see what zip code they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard code to crack when you see very a five hard digit number.
Very hard code to crack. But when you're writing those two songs, it's weird because it sounds like it's very similar textures and tones, but to a very different vibe.
Yeah.
How did you go about that writing from, like, at least the perspective of like someone who come from your hometown to then the California vibe? I'd love to know like what went into those two tracks.
Yeah. With excuse me, with 12118, which is Avril Park, New York, of course. That was like, it was right after I graduated. And so I was just home every day in the middle of winter. So it was like January, February. And I would stay up late every night, like after my parents would go to bed. And that one, I was just like, I don't know, I was just like vibing on the chords for a while. And I was like, that was like the first song in this, what I call my own late night home sessions. We're just like, you know, just like coming up, improvising something new every night. And that was the first one where I was like, okay, this sounds pretty cool, actually. Like, I really like this one. And it feels like just, for me, sitting at home in the winter, just like, but not in a rush to leave, just like kind of enjoying the nice peacefulness of like a place that I'm very comfortable. And then with the other one, with the Sherman Oaks one, that was one I made towards the end of like right before I left home for here. So it was still made at home. But then as soon as I was here, I was trying to come up with good names. I was like, as soon as I got here, I was just like in a really weird mood, mostly good, but like a lot of fear of, I was like, I hope I made the right decision moving here. I miss a lot of my friends back home, all that stuff. But when I was feeling good and like in the sun and like I was listening to my own music, as anyone who makes music does, they just listen to their own stuff constantly.
I wish I did that. Maybe that's a tip. I'd be like,
definitely. I mean, I always do like my phone speaker, my good speaker, my headphones, my other headphones to see
I see.
How does it sound on every possible form of listening to it? And then that one, I was like, oh, I'll just name this one the zip code for here. I was like, this should have been a no-brainer, because I just like, it's fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's, well, it's so funny because I just love on how the balance is between both of those songs. And I feel, knowing you and have known you for a while, I feel like those are two very Andy tracks. Like I could hear him and I was like, oh, this is definitely his intention with these. And I thought that was really clever and creative. Another question on a song I had was Introduction to Intermediate and Advanced Temporal Displacement.
Yeah.
That track, not only I feel differs completely from the rest of, which is probably why it's last. I don't know what your intention with tracking, but it's definitely a break from even the songs that are on that record. What was your mindset when making that track, because I feel if every song you're saying is for a different scene or a different vibe, how does that translate into it?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a lot of the process is like, what's like the biggest visual or like, I guess lack for a better word, vibe inspiration. And that one I had just seen Call Me By Your Name.
Okay, I could see the inspiration there.
Yeah, I love the piano music in that. And I was like, okay, I want to try to do something like those chords, but like with guitar, I just think that would sound cool. And then of course, obviously with a piano in there layered, and then just like kind of just layering a bunch of stuff. And with that one, it was just like, I'm just going to play for as long as I feel it's before it kind of drags on for too long. Just kind of do a whole track and then just kind of go layer by layer for that one. And I was also really in the middle of a binge watch of Community.
I'm in the middle of my binge watch for the third time now.
Yeah, right? It's the best show.
It's the best show ever made, yes.
And so, like, you know, every episode title is like a class. And so that was why the intro, intermediate, advanced, I was just like, I need to come up with something dumb. And I love Community. And this title is ridiculous enough for, like, what is the most, not in a bad way, but just, like, ridiculous track on that. It's just, like, the most going on.
Well, definitely, like, yeah, there's, I think, the layering that you talked about definitely stands out, opposed to a lot of the quiet, very synthy, like, almost atmospheric tones that go with the rest of the record, which I think is beautiful. I think it's a very cool way to end. If you listen to the record as, like, a process, then I think it's a good way to end up with that. Because I also love the balance of, like, the long tracks and short tracks for a lot of the atmospheric stuff, and that was obviously the longest track on there. How do you go about picking instruments or layering, and, like, what's your, I guess, process for production? Like, what sparks an idea? What makes you at least vibe with something? Like, if it is a movie, then what is it compared to, you know?
Yeah. Like, very often, I feel like I always hear, like, people like Brian Wilson be like, I was just driving one day and this melody popped into my head. And, like, that just doesn't happen for me. Like, it does sometimes, but not often. So usually it's just like for like 10218, for example, like that percussion is really Frank Ocean Blonde inspired. And so, you know, like anything, it just starts with, okay, what's a song that I like? And then, like, looking at either the chords of that song or the tempo, and then kind of building off of one of those. And then from there, it's just, you know, playing a C or F chord or something on every tone in, like, the synth category and being like, okay, this sounds stupid, this sounds dumb, but this one sounds kind of fun. And then messing with all the things and then just being like, okay, I haven't done this yet. And then the way I definitely will do the same type of voice once or twice, maybe three times. But I usually like to create a different combination as much as possible. That's what I'm doing on a lot of the stuff that I'm doing now. It's just like, if I kind of do this combination, do these voices, I want this to be the only song that sounds like this, that has these noises, and then do something else that sounds completely different. So kind of, it's almost like I make the noises that you're hearing more of a priority than, I guess, the melody of what you're hearing, just because that's just what I'm more interested in. It's just kind of creating the atmosphere. The goal is always, like, to create a space that you're hanging out in when you're listening with, like, headphones and stuff, rather than like, oh, this is a really catchy song. Because, like, I just, in my Spotify, I describe it as elevator music of the future. Because that's like what I'm going for. Just like, and I don't think elevator music is bad. I don't view it as an insult. I think it's an underrated genre of music.
You think it's an underrated art form?
100%. I think, like, elevator music became confused with muzak, which is bad.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Okay, yeah, okay. I think, but I don't know. I think that's actually, like, a weirdly good way to describe your music, because it is so, I don't know, I like words that I would describe would be like alluring, atmospheric, mostly just like words in the A part of the dictionary.
Yeah.
Andrew being one of them.
Of course.
No, but I don't know. It's just like you have such a pull that grabs you in. And it was so funny because obviously, like, we both love movies, like our whole group of friends, like we're all movie heads and cinephiles and stuff. And is it bad that when I walked out of Uncut Gems, I was like, oh, Andy probably did the score.
Yeah, because, I love that soundtrack.
Yeah, I feel like, and I feel like a lot of those synth parts made me think of your record immediately. And I think that if you're trying to hit a demographic for film, I think that you crushed it. So obviously high compliments to you in that.
Yes, thank you.
But I just think it's so interesting how you would go about it. Would you ever consider singing or doing live vocals on one of your songs?
This is what my parents always tell me to do. They're, because they really don't, I mean, I guess they're just not the target audience.
Right.
But they're, yeah, because always like, you need a lyricist. You just like, you need lyrics and then your songs will be better. And I'm like, thank you for the compliment, I guess.
I think it could be very different too.
Yeah, it's just a different thing. And I'm not a strong singer, so I wouldn't sing on my own songs. I've definitely written lyrics and I've written songs for those lyrics. But I would need someone else to sing it. I'm just like not, but it's not really my priority. I'm not trying to make those types of songs. I'm going for the, you know, music you throw on while you're studying or doing something else, the ideally trying to get into the score world. Like that's where I'm going, which is why lyrics aren't and vocals aren't really a priority for me at the moment.
Got you. Like you also have so many, I mean, you are just such a collaborative person and you're very big on collaboration spirits. Like obviously you are in the collaboration of Spider Rock. I feel that there are so many avenues for you specifically. And then talking about you being not only just a producer, like I would say you would be a producer for this project for like the Andrew Padnott stuff, but then also being a live instrument, like a live player, like obviously you're a drummer. How do you go about deciding, like, would you ever, I feel like you're not using process drums on here.
Yeah.
But would you want to like obviously include your own playing at some point, or like would you do like a drum heavy project, like specifically that goes to your background?
I mean, I definitely want to. One of those biggest problems, a lot of the biggest setbacks for me is just like actual technology and resources. Like I have a drum kit at home and every time I've tried to record it, it just like sounds terrible. And so once I can like book a studio or something like that, like I definitely want to move off of just using my computer as the only source of where these sounds are coming from. I mean, because just using live drums is just like such a great.
Oh, it's a process. Are you kidding? Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. And, but yeah, that's the thing. It sounds great, but you have to do this whole thing.
Dude, trust me. I am very familiar. But like, let me throw a hypothetical out there. Let's say you do leave LA and you do move to New York and happened to be people who needed you to play drums on their tracks and play their live shows, potentially with their friend Tommy McCardle. Yeah. Hypothetically, you would be down, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I haven't played drums in a long time.
I'll book you in. I'll put that down. You can now be joining the Amy's in it. I know you've always wanted to. It's fine. Your application has finally been approved.
Cool. Great. It's great when you're accepted before the application is even.
Yeah, it's
been
crazy.
In your hands.
It's one of those process, man.
No, but I mean, playing is so much fun. I love playing with Steven and Max and Pat and Danny. Like those were so fun all those times. And like, it was just such a short amount of time, which is just the bummer. Because like it's only while we're all in Boston we could do this, and then of course we all leave and then have to actually do life.
Yeah, it sucks, man. Yeah. I will always talk to Steve and say how jealous I am of his lineup because it's just dumb good.
Yeah, everyone was like, I was definitely, I always felt like the least talented, just because being surrounded by people who are all like very good. Sorry. I mean, it's great. I'd rather be that than feel like I'm surrounded by people who are bad.
True. But would you ever start a side project out in LA?
Well, I made, back in the fall, I made a bunch of songs with my good friend Noah. And we put it on only on Bandcamp under the title of Purchasing.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's just I think we were put out for the four songs, and we were just like doing like an indie rock thing. It was really fun. But then of course we were both worked together, and then we were both fired. So we made these songs, and then we both got jobs, so we stopped. So that was like the only real venture into like working with other people and doing other types of music while I've been out here. Because it's only really the opportunity I've had. And it was really fun. It was great to work with someone else. And he sang all the lyrics and he wrote most of them. But that was just super fun. And that was just another example of just playing music with someone and collaborating is way more rewarding.
Oh, it's extremely nice. And I feel like, obviously, it's nice to have the control to do your own stuff, especially if it's on your own computer and on your own time. Mm-hmm. But there is something really nice about playing in a group or playing with a duo or something like that. I think it's really, I feel like it makes a lot of the time. But going from upstate New York to Boston to LA, how do you feel any of that has shaped you as being a musician in your own right? Those are three very different vibes.
Yeah.
Specifically, I don't know what the vibe from upstate New York is, but I know Boston is obviously a very artsy town. I'm from there. And a lot of our friends are there, but Boston is very has a lot of different genres. But then I want to know how that relates to like things in LA and how you've related to seeing music out here or out there.
Yeah. As far as the way I view upstate, I mean, that's just, obviously I view it as my home. And so it's kind of my own definition of it. And for me, that's like it's like the 10218 type. It's just like it's an underrated type of serene. You know, it's a nice serenity and peacefulness. It's very quiet, which I think when I'm there, I've definitely noticed myself without being conscious of it. It took me like a while to realize this, that in all three of those different places, when I've like been in for a good amount of time, it definitely affects the mood I'm in, which of course affects like the type of music that you want to make. So like at home, it's a lot of stuff like that. I think my best melodies come out when I'm at home. Because my best, for Goodbye Friendly Buddy, my favorite songs from that were all while I was home. And then in Boston, I think I was the most, I was able to maybe, I guess, push myself the most, at least when I was there, just kind of do new stuff, like the last song on that one. Just like being like, all right, I'm just going to try a bunch of different like weird sounding stuff. For the longest time in LA, I would only make like upbeat, like very dancey power type stuff. Like that was right when I got here. And I think that was kind of a reflection of the 91403. Just like, kind of like, well, let's go for it. But recently I've kind of dialed that back and have been kind of letting the songs be longer and simpler, which I really like. And that's kind of, I think, more of a reflection of almost like the blissed out sun, you know, type energy. Just like that. Just relax. Just chill. Nothing matters.
That's awesome, man. Trust me, I wish I was by the sun all the time. It's bleak over here. It was snowing yesterday. Let me put that in perspective.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. It's definitely made the quarantine easier.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. You can go out and run and walk and do whatever you need, you know?
Yeah.
But overall, you think like music, how does like music stand for you and like about how you see yourself in the future? Like if you were to work with a very specific director and make a movie, who would that want? Who would you want to be? Who would that be?
Well, I mean, obviously after seeing Uncut Gems, the Safdie brothers know how to use a good synth with Daniel Lopatin, I think is that guy's name who did that music. David Fincher kind of introducing me to Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross was very important for me. Social Network and Gone Girl are like the best scores in my opinion.
Those are two of my favorites, obviously. They're so good.
Yeah. So like that, and like, that's great because their music is very, especially Gone Girl's more atmospheric than Social Network. Social Network is just like, they're like more powerful and like better melodies. But those are both kind of in like an atmospheric, you know, mysterious, and like obviously Fincher those movies. Like, it just works really well together. And, like, I think that's also an interesting part of scoring that isn't talked about a ton. Because, like, Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor did a few songs for mid-90s. But, like, mid-90s was very much, like, I guess, song-driven. Like, the, you know, pre-existing songs, not score. And I feel like you're almost not wasting music, but it's like you just because you like the Social Network soundtrack doesn't mean that you need to bring them into your project. Like, it's just not appropriate.
True. I agree with you. I mean, I feel like what's that one scene in mid-90s specifically when he's skateboarding down the middle of the highway and Morrissey's playing? Like, that's a very specific vibe for that type. And I could see on how being a composer like yourself, you could be able to point out those contrapances and stuff.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's like the same thing as like John Williams wouldn't do the music for Gone Girl. And like, it's just like, you know, it's, you can really like a score and really want something like that. But you also have to look at your own project and be like, okay, can this work? And that's something when, like, I just did a short film. It's on YouTube now. It's called MASH. That was, he was looking for a composer, and I was like, I just want to let you know, like, I have a kind of specific style. I don't really deviate from it. I work within that. Like, I'm not going to do, you know, like strings and flutes. Like, that's not really what I do. And he was like, that's great, 'cause that's not what I'm going for. And I just think I think it's okay to kind of stay in your lane when it comes to stuff like that. Yeah, you can do a little bit of experimenting, but like, I'm not a classical film. I'm not a classical music person. You know, I'm not musically trained or anything. And so I think, like, that's also, I don't know if this kind of got off topic, but it kind of goes with just like the types of projects I'd like to work on.
No, that's what I'm saying. I feel like as a film composer, like, that's like your ambition. I feel like that's what I definitely want to be able to talk about. You know what I mean? What do you look for when you're finding a project, for instance, like this film you just did?
A big thing for me is just like a great visual, something that's really cool visually. So like with this one I just did, it was about a kid who goes to college and he's nervous he won't fit in, except the kid is like a puppet. He's a Muppet. And it's just like the image of a Muppet talking to people is always funny. And I saw that and I was like, okay, like, I definitely want to make music for this. 'Cause like, I want to score this little guy's journey. Like, I want to kind of pull on the heartstrings and the literal strings. And like for Goodbye Friendly Buddy, Morgan, right?
Yes. Your other friend that I've met at that one party.
Yeah. That was stop motion animated and very colorful and very fun. Like, and that's like another thing. I was like, okay, like something really cool is happening visually. And so I think let's make something really cool musically that's happening at the same time. And like, it'll just like be a really unique experience that you can draw, that you can see where the inspirations are from, but it's, you know, obviously it's something new. And so it's definitely, for me, it's, you know, the look, the tone, both like have to be kind of playful. You know, can't take itself too seriously. Just like being a little bit self-aware is important. So those are definitely things I look for.
Are you going to release the soundtrack that you did for that film?
Yeah. That's going to come soon. Morgan Wright, he's working on an album cover for me right now.
Oh, sweet.
He does all of my album covers, by the way. And he's great.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, no, you have a very specific vibe with your art, which I think is breathtaking. So go on Spotify and look at Andy's artwork. I think it's beautiful. So shout out Morgan Wright.
Yeah, he's the best. Like, I don't want anyone else to make the covers just because like he nails exactly the type of vibe that I want with music, you know?
That's amazing, man. Dude, I think I've said this to so many people, whether you're in a band and it's your mixing engineer or producer or whatever, like when you have your team, there's no better feeling.
Yeah.
Like when you have the people that you know that you can count on specifically, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, definitely. It's just like, it's a great level of trust to have. And you're just like, and I also send him stuff all the time being like, what do you think about this? Like, is this good or is this not? And like, you always count on them to be honest with you, which is especially which is something that I really need when I'm just like making stuff all the time. And like half of it, probably 80% of the stuff I make is garbage. And the 20% is like, okay, I'll share that with the public.
But I think that's the most important thing. As long as you can have real honest ears, give you feedback. I'm very fortunate. I have so many people that I could show things with. And I think it's, I always say that don't want too many cooks in the kitchen. But however, if you have your people that are going to give you it to, that are going to give it to you honestly, then that's the way to be, man.
Yeah. And they also just like with something that's like specific, either with your type of music or like with mine, like I can't send my song to Happy Mother's Day to my mom and be like, what do you think of this?
True.
Like I'm not the right person to weigh in on this type of vibe. Like I need someone who like, you know, is kind of just accepts it for like the weirdness that it could be.
Dude, I think that's really important.
Yeah.
But dude, thank you so much for just hanging out and hanging out with me for a little bit. I really appreciate your feedback, because talking to like a film composer like yourself is extremely very cool. Like it's a very different perspective than I would ever get from talking to someone in an indie rock band, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it's my pleasure to share my words of wisdom.
Well, I'm so happy. Masterclass is going to call you soon on film composition. And, you know, I think you'll be fine, kid.
Cool.
Wow, you'll succeed. You'll succeed in Hollywood, buddy.
Let's hope so. I really need
to. Dude, I really do appreciate it, man.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You are the absolute best. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later, Andy.
Bye, Morgan.